That's a newsy Football Wednesday. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, pleased to bring in with us right now. Hopefully he can give us some perspective on this. I'm not sure what he'll be able to say, but the floor now belongs to you, Gerard Cherry.
Hey, hey, hey.
Is that it? It's a hey, hey. It's not a hey, hey, hey day. Come on.
It is a hey, hey day. If you're Brian Hoyer, it's a hey, hey, hey day. Heck, you're going to go out there and make some hay. And guys, when you heard me say never let them see your backup, that applies to second string quarterbacks too.
Apparently so.
Okay.
Apparently so.
So you saw Brian Hoyer in the preseason. You saw Hoyer in training camp. You followed his career. What are you expecting from this?
Oh, I'm expecting a guy to go out there and give you direction, some energy. More importantly, that because I really do believe that's what this offense is looking for. A guy that has a sense of awareness about himself and, more importantly, energy. Because right now you're in the dulls of a situation on offense and you're just looking for something fresh. And the last time you saw something fresh, unique, and good out of your offense was when Brian Hoyer was on the football field. And coaches remember what they saw last that was good. And that was a good, positive memory. And Jason Campbell should have known better. Even though you have flu-like symptoms, never, ever in a preseason situation, unless your name is Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, and Drew Brees, let them see your backup. Oh, yeah, and we'll throw Joe Flacco in there as well.
I was waiting for it. I wanted Joe Flacco in there. I was going to maybe say Colin Kaepernick, but Joe Flacco, yeah. So they're saying that, you know, it's game plan specific. These are the two things that stood out to me in Chud's comments that we've heard so far. Number one, that this is a game plan specific decision. So you wonder what that means going forward. And number two, what's your takeaway from the comment? And does it surprise you, or is it really just put a fork in it? It's Dunsky, speaking of the Brandon Whedon era here in Cleveland, that Chud didn't even say, yeah, when he comes back, Brandon Whedon's still our starter.
None of those things surprise me, Nathan and Vic. And from a game plan specific standpoint, you can make the argument that Hoyer may be more comfortable in the pocket, because if you go back on what you saw last week with Jason Campbell being the reliever, he came in there and he didn't look like he was ready to relieve a situation. He was fortunate that first pass he threw was not a pick six. So right there, that was a strike against him. And then he went on to have another example of Brandon Whedon doing the same thing, where you're throwing a pitch out there for the last play when you need a first down. Those things were not going to help him. It goes back to what I said earlier. The Browns saw a situation with Josh Gordon, and Brian Hoyer seemed to have some sense of rapport against Chicago, so that probably factored into it.
It's against FedEx workers.
It doesn't matter. It was positive. That's the thing, man. When you're in a situation that the Browns are in, you are looking for something positive, something to say you can give yourself a sense of hope, and why not try it? Crazier things have happened, and that's the thing. People get sold on, well, he was undrafted. He got cut from this team. He didn't work out of that team. But guess what? If he can make it work here, it doesn't matter if he was not drafted. It doesn't matter if he didn't work out of other teams. The whole point is to make it work here.
Yeah. It doesn't matter that Brandon Whedon was picked in the first round a year ago.
Yeah. No, the dream. Clearly, you're right. He could realize and fulfill a dream, starting for his hometown team and all of that good stuff. I'm with you on that. I think the hurdle I'm struggling to get over, Gerard, is with regard to the way this offense is designed, at least in terms of what these coaches know best and the kinds of plays that they do call. This requires some serious alteration, and it goes back to what Nathan asked you about and what we've talked about on the show since we got on the air, was the game plan specific conversation that you're going to really design something, it sounds, that will fit the skill set of this quarterback, which is not attacking deep, and an opponent does not have to worry about his deep throwing threat. But now you've got Josh Gordon back, and this sounds like a lot of slants. This sounds like a lot of those quick posts. This sounds like a lot of those plays that make that a quarterback who can be decisive and get it out of his hand quickly can capitalize on. But it's really not, if you think about what Rob Chudzinski and Norv Turner do offensively, it's really not the trademark of what they do.
All right, that's a great analysis, Vic, of what Hoyer will bring to the table. But let me add this and say that if your offensive line is struggling to the magnitude in which our offensive line is struggling, you want a guy who's going to get rid of the ball quickly. Now, granted, the Minnesota Vikings have not been lighting the world on fire in regards to sacks. They only have one on the year. But you do not want the Cleveland Browns offensive line to be the elixir to fix that situation. So I figure that's one reason why it would make sense from a game plan standpoint to have a guy who's quicker in his delivery. And let's also say this, too. When you are a vertical offense, it's not like every other play you're throwing 40, 50 yards down the field. You have to first establish the run, and then you take your shots every right. now and then based on the situation, be it come right off a turnover or you have been having success establishing a run. Then you might throw some three deep passes, and we make it out that Hoyer cannot throw a ball 40 to 50 yards. That's a deep pass. Heck, anything over 20 yards is considered a deep pass. Now, if it's going to be a 70, 80-yard bomb, probably not. But the same token, he can do enough to make you say, okay, we can run some of the concepts that we believe we should be capable of doing. Does he have a better arm than Brandon Weeden? No, but at this point, I believe what they're saying is we're more concerned about a guy's mind and his attitude and how he approaches a game, and that is why Brian Hoyer, in my opinion, is out there, and you see Jason Campbell backing him up, and Brandon Weeden made the ultimate mistake. If you know that your organization has some questions about you, my thumb better be torn off before I go off of that football field. You can't just like, oh, well, it's hurting. That doesn't matter, man.
Gerard, come on. He's going to see a specialist for his thumb. Yeah, I mean, I think that's...
If he can't grip a football, dude,
I'm not trying to hear that. Well, you guys can come from that mentality, but trust me, I'm not trying to hear that. Shoot my thumb with something. I know they got medicine for it, and I'll live to see another day. That's got to be your mentality.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Wow.
And Roger Goodell's like, this is the poster child for the NFL right
now,
Gerard.
No, that's just
Gerard
the reality of the NFL, if you want to be real about it.
I understand. So do you think Brandon Weeden has played his last game as a member of the Cleveland Browns?
I don't think he played his last game because if this offensive line doesn't hold up, Hoyer will look suspect as well. It all goes together. Now, if they block for him and do what's necessary, he'll do well, and then Brandon Weeden might have seen his last game, and then Campbell will probably get the chance before him. But I'm telling you guys, I want to go back to this because you guys seem to have issue with what I said as far as the finger situation. You can sugarcoat it all you want and say, well, he's going to see a specialist. Guys can talk their way out seeing specialists, just like guys can cheat a concussion test. If you really want to be out there, you're going to be out there. And he was in no position, in my opinion, to go out there and say, let me go see a specialist. Screw a specialist. My career's on the line. But that was obviously not his mentality, and he's going to pay for it. Maybe in the short run, and hopefully things work out for him in the long run.
I mean, I love you, but I disagree with you.
Yeah, here's the part. The hard part of
disagreeing with me, though. That's the hard
part
here.
You're being real, and the hard part for me on that is, and I know you're speaking from the perspective of being out there and having done this and so forth, so I respect that immensely. You know I do. But my problem with that, Gerard, in this specific case, is if his performance is going to be that much compromised by the inability to grip a ball. And I'm, by the way, this is just, I'm being as speculative as you are, because you're saying screw going seeing the specialist. If the specialist is really needed because of that, of this thumb being in very bad shape, then I don't know that he could help himself in any way by just pushing through. No, I'll handle it. And by that, with that handicap physically, don't you think it could lead to worse things?
In my opinion, obviously you know where I stand on this. I'm going to say no, because once he hurt that finger in the first place, he went back in the game and threw a strike to Greg Little. And Greg Little dropped the ball, unfortunately. And I know about the pain situation. Did I play quarterback? No, but I've seen guys with jacked up hands throw a football still with a jacked up hand because they knew what was on the line. So again, if he's going to have the mentality, though, I will agree with you guys in this regard that, hey, my hands hurt and I cannot be effective, pull him out. Because if that's his mentality, he's not going to succeed.
What if he's out anyway? I mean, what if he finished the game and then he would be out anyway? You know what I mean? Like, what if he finished the game? Like take for example, Shane Vereen in New England in week one played the entire game with a broken bone in his wrist, and then now he needs surgery and is on the short-term IR. So, I mean, you would have been happier with him if he showed that, listen, even if I have an injury that's going to put me on the shelf, maybe even on injured reserve, I finish the game. That's what you would look for as a teammate?
Oh, yeah. But see, that's the thing, though. I'm coming from the mindset of the old NFL as far as how you deal with injuries and how you approach that.
Right.
And I know guys that play with broken wrists. I know guys that play with jacked up thumbs.
I think it's just different when you're a quarterback.
Right.
Well, that's not necessarily true either, because I've seen guys with broke hands play quarterback still. So you guys, again.
I like it, Gerard. Gerard, you're hardcore.
Guy by the name of Drew Bledsoe, I think, is who you're talking about.
So it can be, if there's a will, there's a way, is the message I'm trying to get across to you guys today.
Right.
And granted, You don't have to take my word for it. I'm just telling you what I saw.
I appreciate that.
I like it.
It's a good discussion. You raise a point. And you raise this. And look, it makes it even more interesting, doesn't it, Gerard, that we'll see how this now plays out. Does the thumb become the pathway for Whedon to then, you know, literally finish off his time in Cleveland? If this does end his season, then it's on that versus, you know, the performance thing, and we'll all be left wondering what if.
Yeah, we will be, Vic, but that's the part, I guess, that just eats at me, because I'm saying to myself, Brandon, you got to present them that it's going to take pretty much you're going to try, even with the hurt situation, too. It's just obvious and glaringly obviously, like, gosh, you can't throw a football. All right, let's sit him down. You just can't. When you're in his situation, I'm of the opinion that it has to be that they tackle you to prevent you from going on the football field. They hide your equipment. Now, granted, the doctors may have said all these things to him, said he's shut it down, he's done. I get all that. But just for me, from a player standpoint, I'm going to look at that and say, did he really do all he could do? Was he forced, or did he take the easy way out?
Okay. Gerard, very interesting perspective.
And, I can't
and really only one you can provide, and, yeah, and we do appreciate it. We appreciate it. And I know of what you – I've covered this long enough to know of those anecdotes, of those stories.
Ronnie
I've watched
Lott.
A lot. A guy named Jim Kelly followed his career. There's a lot of truth in what you're saying. I don't deny it. I'm not comfortable going there as well as you do, to the extent that I want to know more about the real circumstances on his thumb, and I don't have that. I'm not privy to the condition of it or what it could prevent him to do or not. You've got questions about that because you're putting competition above anything else.
Oh, and, totally.
And that's fair. All right, great. And we thank you.
I love it.
And love it, and love having you aboard, and we'll do this again, my friend.
All right, take care.
All right, Gerard.
He is the one and only Gerard Cherry, and he joins us routinely, regularly, daily on this show. That is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You'll also hear him with Hooley and Gerard after we leave the air at 3 p.m., so stick around for that. We've got much more coming up. We'll hear from sound from Rob Chudzinski and Brian Hoyer and many others. And your calls at 216-578-0850 as well. So much ahead on a very newsy Wednesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.